Well, thanks again for listening to the Park Hills Podcast. If you want more information on things we're doing, go to parkhillschurch.com or the Park Hills Church app. So we've said this before, but I really do appreciate it when people listen to the podcast and let us know they like it. That's great. But I also want people to tell us, hey, here's a topic I would love for you guys to cover in the podcast. So we've said it before. Nobody really ever emails us and says, hey, here's a topic we'd love to hear. Maybe because you're all just so spellbound by how great we are that you're just like, we could never give you another topic because you guys are so good at this. Which even saying a sarcastic comment like that means that I'm probably going to get comments on that statement, which makes me happy because there's interaction on the podcast. Maybe that's why
people – I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah, maybe that's why people are so like intense on some of their podcasts because they're just trying to get a reaction from people. Okay. Yeah. So
maybe.
Moving on. We closed out the EFCA Statement of Faith series. You know, we've given people an early on-ramp to membership and an easy on-ramp to membership. All that is great. But we want to make this the EFCA love episode. You know, this is I Heart EFCA is what this episode is called. And we're just going to talk because, you know, two of us are ordained. High five on that. Yep. And one of us is moving toward that. No, you don't even get five. You don't even get one.
I can't even clap my own hands.
No, you'll get you'll get two and a half when you get licensed. But then after that, we'll be ready
all the work is done. It's all submitted. I'm just waiting to hear back. So
I know, which is great and very exciting.
How
I love that.
How long does it take to hear back?
6 years sometimes. Wow. No, I'm kidding. It goes faster than that. So I was just joking. Dr. Strand, if you're listening to me. all right. So nobody's going to get that joke except for us. All right. So why are you a part of the Evangelical Free Church of America? Any one of us could have gone and worked for any organization. We could have been a part of any other movement. I think some of us probably have had headhunters reach out to us at some point and said, hey, come work for this church or this church or this church. I'm committed to it. I've talked to both of you. This is Jonathan and Alex again. I know you both are committed to the idea of the Evangelical Free Church as well. Why are you a part of it?
Well, I'm a Free Church kid. I grew up in a Free Church. My dad was a pastor of a Free Church for 40 years. So growing up, that was really all I knew as a church experience. And when I went off to college, which was Moody Bible Institute, that was really my first time being outside of the Free Church and attended a non-denominational church downtown Chicago, and you know, did some preaching at some Hispanic churches while I was at Moody. But even going on to the mission field in Venezuela, like there was a Free Church connection there. The Free Church exists in Venezuela. There were some Free Church missionaries that invested a lot of time, saw a lot of fruit many years ago, and so the connections that I had there were through the Free Church. Coming off of the mission field, I got involved with the Hispanic churches in our current district, in the mm-hmm. Great Lakes District. So it just seems like the Free Church has continued to be a constant connection, a network, and maybe an easy way to connect. And being ordained in the Free Church, it's just part of my experience, part of who I am, and it's been good.
Yeah, love it. How about you?
Yeah, my story is very different. I did not grow up in the Free Church. I grew up in the regular Baptist church, which there's a lot of different Baptist churches, because if you're a Baptist and you don't like something, you spin off and make a new one.
The irregular Baptist church. You spin off and make an irregular Baptist church.
And I do really appreciate my church upbringing, you know, conservative, good hermeneutic, good solid theology. The one thing was, I feel like looking back, it was, sometimes I say one foot in fundamentalism. It wasn't quite fundamentalism. It was closer than where I am now, I should say. And what's interesting to me is I kind of grew up with this idea. I wanted to go into ministry. I knew that in high school. And my story, actually, I went to a Baptist college, Cedarville University. majored in Bible and was headed towards seminary. And I remember having conversations with people about what seminary I was going to go to. I was going to go to Baptist Bible Seminary because I thought, you know, I'm a Baptist. I want to go to like the most Baptist school I can think of. And at the time, that's the one that I knew well. And I remember telling people, I want to be so well grounded in good Baptist theology so that I can learn that truth and then I can leave seminary and be able to defend it. So it was very clear in my mind, I didn't want my viewpoints to be pushed while I was in school. I wanted to pretty much learn the doctrine I already had and knew. So that was where I was headed. After college, I said I want to take a year off school. I didn't want to go straight into seminary. I wanted to do get some ministry background. Just wanted to really just where I was at in life. I'm like, that was my gap year. I'm like, I need a gap year between college and seminary. So I went, I did 2 months of church planting in the Philippines, and while I was there, I got contacted by an Evangelical Presbyterian Church, the EPC, which is a newer Presbyterian denomination, and they were looking for a youth resident to come and do their middle school ministry for a year. And so I interviewed with them, and I said, I'm not Presbyterian. I don't really know a whole lot about Presbyterianism, but, you know, would I be able to work here? And this is a mega church. This is 2,000 plus people. And the lead youth pastor was a Baptist Bible College graduate. Hmm. And he said, you'll be okay here. And I said, well, I can do that. I can work for a Baptist if I'm a Baptist, even if it's in a Presbyterian situation. He and I got along great. He poured so much into my life and so much into my ministry. But what was really interesting, so, you know, you grow up in kind of this, not quite fundamentalism, but close to it, and kind of the mindset, and maybe this wasn't the message they were trying to teach me, but this is the message I heard, was that we have very specific views on Scripture, things like baptism, things like, you know, roles of men and women in the church, gifts of the Spirit, all that kind of stuff. And if you don't agree with us, you probably don't take the Bible seriously. Like, that's kind of what I thought. So then I start working in this Presbyterian church, and they baptized infants. They were not premillennial, which was, you know, new to me. And
red flag.
Yeah. and, the, you know, then the, just their Presbyterian form of church government, the role of elders was different, you know, the ruling elders and the teaching elders, all this kind of stuff. But I met a pastor there, and he was one of the smartest guys I knew. He was so well thought out. He was so kind and gracious, and just I grew to respect one of their pastors. But he disagreed with me on so many of these things, and I was, for the first time, I met someone that took the Bible seriously, had a strong understanding and hermeneutic of how do you interpret Scripture, but didn't agree with me. And that was like this mind-blowing moment for me. I was like, those were not categories in my head that you could baptize infants and not just like you got there because you threw out the Bible, right? Or you could be an amillennial and you didn't get there because you just threw out the Bible and decided you want to make it say what you like, you did it. So that was a new category to me. And I was like, where did you go to school? He's like, Trinity. I'm like, I'm going there. Never heard. I mean, I'd heard of it here and there. But Trinity, I had heard, was the, like, from the Baptist viewpoint, was that broadly evangelical school that you could believe anything and go there. Again, in my categories, if you didn't believe the same things, it's because you didn't take the Bible seriously. And so he's like, Trinity. So I was like, okay, I'm going there. I'm going to Trinity. I remember going to my home church a little bit later and talking to my pastor. And he said, oh, you know, you're getting ready to go to seminary. And I said, yeah, I got a couple months left. And he said, where are you going? I said, Trinity. And he goes, oh, Ted's? And I said, yeah, that's the one. And he said, oh, yeah, the Evangelical Free Church School. And I'm like, what's the Evangelical Free Church? I didn't even know. I'd never even heard of it. Where I grew up, there aren't, or at least then weren't a lot, still aren't a ton of Evangelical Free Churches outside of Chicago. I mean, outside of Detroit, in the Detroit area. So I had signed up to go to the school, not even knowing it was denominationally tied, not even knowing, had even heard of the Free Church. So then I get out there and loved it. Just loved the experience of, you know, that new category for me. These people, you know, I wanted to hear people who were covenant theologians and dispensationals who actually held those views. I wanted to speak with egalitarians who actually were egalitarians and would teach that, and complementarians who were that. Because my whole experience up to this point, you know, I remember being in a theology class at Cedarville, and we spent, you know, so much time. It was a systematics class. We spent so much time on premillennialism, you know, weeks and weeks studying it, and we spent one class period on postmillennialism. So we gave that viewpoint one class period, and then as the class period was wrapping up, professor looks at the clock. There's like 30 seconds till he's got to let us go, and he goes, ah, we don't have time for amillennialism. Just don't worry. It's wrong. Just don't believe it. We'll see you guys next class period.
Which he probably should have said for the postmillennial view, but in my opinion. But keep going.
But I just mean, like, that was kind of the attitude I had. So I wanted to go to a school where all those viewpoints were taught. You know, again, under the umbrella of evangelicalism, you know, I don't want to go like liberal theology or like, let's not study the Bible. Well, let's, you know, make up our own interpretive principles. But I wanted to hear it from people who held those viewpoints. And so I went into seminary and I said, every view on theology where there's different viewpoints within evangelicalism is all up for grabs in my mind. Like, I am ready to change any of my views on gifts of the Holy Spirit, views on the end times, views on men and women in ministry, views on baptism, all those things, all up for grabs. And some of them did change. Some of them were confirmed. I'm like, no, I still believe what I grew up with. And some of them changed. Some of them I was like, you know, as you really look at scripture, you know, I remember like use of the sign gifts. I was a cessationist, and I'm looking at scripture. I'm like, I don't know how you get there
right
without being that way. So anyway, all that to say, my first then ministry position, just because of the connections with Trinity, it's easy to find a job in the Free Church. So I was going to a Converge church, which is formerly Baptist General Conference, and thought I would stay with Converge. So this is why my licensing is taking so long, because when you're at Trinity, you take a class where you write your licensing paper for the Free Church. And I was like, I'm not in the Free Church. So you can independent study with a different denomination. So I independent studied with Converge because like, I'm in Converge. I'm not one of these Free Church guys. Anyway, landed in a Free Church. And I say it this way, I found a home in the Free Church. I found a place where because I did move away from fundamentalism. Not that I was fully in fundamentalism, but I moved away from that into evangelicalism. And so the Free Church was a place where I felt like you can be more charitable toward viewpoints that don't align with how you land on some of these secondary issues. So that's why I love the Free Church, because you're going to interact with people who have those, again, these are secondary points, who hold different viewpoints, and you're not going to be like, oh, that's cute, you just did whatever you wanted with the Bible to come up with that. It's like, no, you do take this seriously and think deeply and don't agree with me, and that's okay.
Yeah, which partially answers the second question for you. So my answer to the first two questions, first one is, why are you a part of the movement? Second, what is your favorite thing about the EFCA? Is tied together in the fact that I have worked for churches that don't like each other, people within the church. I've worked for churches that are struggling to find ground, common ground, to be a part of a movement. I love that the Free Church is committed to one thing, and that's majoring in the majors and minoring in the minors. So the idea of the Free Church really living out that expectation is what makes it strong to me. So I love the fact that I've had Free Church staff members that I've worked with who don't hold my views on a lot of different things, and we're all able to work together and rally around Jesus as the key. So that's a big part of why I'm in the movement. I've tried other things. I've gone other places. I got serious about my faith in a Free Church. That was here at Park Hills. And, you know, ever since, I've just been going, all right, let's just focus on that. And I think it actually opens up. For example, part of why Park Hills exists and part of what we're doing is helping other churches in our area that we can work with, because we do have a little flexibility to work with people. It doesn't all have to be denominational. Now, granted, we're going to spend more time with denominational churches. So that's, you know, Galena Bible Church, you know, Lena E. Free, Chadwick, Winnishek. I'm just thinking about the ones in our ministerial area here. So we will connect with them more, but yet we have no problem working with like a North Grove. We have no problem working with, you know, there's a number of churches in our area that we're willing to work with, Zion, First Baptist. So there's a nice little net there that we can cast and go, all right, let's be a part of something together. Let's work together. Let's see God do something great. So yeah, no, I love that. Those are good stories. So Jonathan growing up in the movement, Alex, you know, seeing the light eventually
and accidentally ending up. Yeah. Well, cause I like what you said, Chris, you know, like majoring on the majors and minoring on the minors. I feel like every denomination or culture, church culture that I've come in contact with says that.
Right.
But I think the Free Church actually does that really well.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that as well. Not say I haven't seen it at all, but I haven't seen it as well as it's done in the Free Church.
Totally. And I've had people come to me and say, you know, there are other Free Churches that, for example, have maybe gone more egalitarian with their view. So they'll, you know, they have women in roles that, you know, some Free Churches probably wouldn't. And for example, we don't hold to that. Everyone that works here is complementarian, and we're pretty strong complementarian, not chauvinistic or, you know, we're not filled with machismo or anything. It's just like we feel like the scripture is really clear. And so we're living that out. And people would say, how can you possibly live with each other in the same movement? It's like, we've been doing this for 60 years, 70 years. Like, this is just who we are. Yeah. We as a movement have made some decisions that have guided us in this direction. But for the most part, we're able to kind of just work together, even though we don't always agree on everything, because we're rallied around Jesus first and foremost. What would you add to that? What's your favorite part of the Free Church?
Yeah, I would agree with that. The autonomous part of it also, I think, is
nice. Define that for us, for the normal listener.
So every church basically governs itself, and I think that's why you'll see some churches in the Free Church that are more egalitarian and yep. some that aren't, like us, because each church is able to kind of come to those convictions and to live that out as they see. And that's the kind of the, as you both of you have mentioned, like majoring on the majors and minoring on the minors, like the statement of faith is, I think, clear and broad enough to allow these kind of different secondary issues to coexist within a church. I mean, I was one of the churches that I was pastoring in before I came here. You know, the one of the other pastors on staff was Arminian, and I hold to more of a Calvinistic view on things.
Not Arminian, right. But Arminian.
Arminian.
No, you didn't say it. I just making sure that people know. Because that could, I've actually had people pull me aside, like, what's the problem with Arminian? I'm like, nothing. It's Arminian. It's a totally, keep going. Sorry.
So that was something that, like, at the beginning, when I found that out in a conversation with him, there was a part of me that was like, oh, like, am I okay with this? Like, am I okay serving in a church where not all of us are on the same page with certain things? And I kind of took a step back and just thought, well, that's the Free Church, like, and that's the beauty of the Free Church. And so, you know, sure, there was disagreements about certain things, but we were all there really, you know, for the same purpose of advancing the gospel. So that the Free Church allows that those differences in the autonomy, you know, for each church to be autonomous and how they kind of live those things out, I think is a major positive of the denomination.
Love it. So what are frustrations? If you have any, if you don't have any, you can just say, no, I'm totally pleased with the Free Church in every possible way. But do you have frustrations? What are they? And then try to articulate them in such a way that doesn't throw the denomination under the bus, but at the same time shows people that we are thinking clearly about these things. So,
well, I would say the thing that I just said that I love about the Free Church, of every church being autonomous, is also a potential negative.
Yeah.
Because there isn't as much perhaps oversight or resources that are available on a denominational level to churches. So I really, you know, felt that a lot, you know, pastoring in some of the Hispanic churches where there was a lot of you know, a lot of those churches are understaffed and under-resourced. And, you know, it's like, hey, we need some help. What can the Free Church do? Oh, well, not much in terms of providing staff or providing funds or providing resources. So it's a great thing, but it's also potentially a limiting or negative thing when you're needing help. And you know, because there's other denominations that will provide resources or staff,
yep.
And they just kind of take care of that. But then there's also a lot more oversight than maybe we would like. So I kind of see it as a double-edged sword. There's a lot of great things about the autonomous part of it, but there's also some negative things about it.
And I've had church planning friends that would say, I love being able to do whatever I want to do. And then they go, but I really want a lot of help. And it's like, you're not in this other denomination
right. That
throws everything at you. And, you know, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes to plant a church. They'll just throw it all at it. And they're like, look what we can do. And they're planting churches all over the place. But those are also very controlled outfits that
Correct. Five years in,
sometimes the church planner is so burned out and tired of it, they're like, I'm out. I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Yeah, I like that. What else? What are your frustrations, Alex?
Well, as somebody who hasn't finished his credentialing and ordination, I better just leave
it. Very careful. I'm just going to slip them this like clip here and just say, just before
I love everything.
before you accept this guy, you should probably.
There is nothing wrong with this denomination.
This is like your campaign video years from now. You know?
Yeah. No, I'd say my biggest frustration is something that EFCA is working on, but I'm not sure how well they're doing that. And that is being multicultural and multi-ethnic in our country. I think some of that comes from the EFCA's history of being Swedish and Norwegian. And I'm not saying they're not doing any of this. For example, my father-in-law is Filipino and he pastored a Filipino free church. So there are multicultural, multi-ethnic opportunities. And I'm not for multicultural just for the sake of being multicultural, but I think there are a lot of opportunities out there and a lot of people to be reached with church planting, not just to my demographic. And if you go to most of our denominational things, it's mostly older white men. And that's not like a problem. Again, I'm not for like, well, we just need to put someone up there as the token multicultural representative. But the denomination is mostly, Caucasian churches. A lot of them are rural in Caucasian towns. I'm not like, this needs to be fixed and this is a major problem. But this denomination has mostly grown in that demographic over the years. And I think the EFCA knows that that's kind of an issue, that maybe if we just do these same things the same way we've always done them, that's not going to change. So they are making some changes. But I'd love to see it continue and maybe be a little bit more effective.
Those are good things. And I think when you specifically talk about the older pastors and when you talk about resourcing church planting, I think that's actually one of the reasons why I'm passionate about the vision for Park Hills moving forward. Us developing young pastors and giving them access to things so that they can go plant healthy churches maybe without a lot of resources, or getting the next generation up and running, pulling them from a seminary or from a Bible school, teaching them how to do it well, because that's not what they teach us in seminary. Mm-hmm. They just fill our heads with a bunch of stuff telling us this is what you need to do. And a lot of times those individuals, and no offense here, are older men who stopped pastoring 25 years ago, 30 years ago. And so they don't even know what it looks like anymore. So I see us as sort of becoming like that practicum piece, you know, that year after you get done with Bible school or seminary, training guys to do it and do it well in a way that won't, you know, they won't burn out, they'll hopefully have less failure, all that kind of stuff. And so I see one of the things that churches like ours could do is be the resource to make that happen, to avoid some of those issues. The multicultural thing, I'm with you. That's one of my frustrations. And I think one of my frustrations with it is sometimes that when you get a bunch of, just to be frank, a bunch of older white men realizing that they need to be more multicultural, they approach it in a very older white man sort of way. And so sometimes what will happen is we sort of approach multiculturalism like, this is what we want to do. And it's like, no, there's probably a better way to do that. Maybe some other voices in the room would be better. That's a frustration I have from time to time. Just, and this isn't a knock necessarily on the denomination. It's just sometimes we're so interested in doing something, but we still think that we should be in charge of it rather than letting somebody else run the show and tell us what to do. Whether that be someone who can bridge between the two cultures, like I honestly see Jonathan doing that number of times, or someone else that is a really good voice in that area. That's a frustration I have. The last frustration I have is actually not with the Free Church, but with evangelicalism in general, right? So one of the conversations a lot of us have to have is, what do we do with a term like evangelical? We know what it means. It means gospel-focused, Bible-centric, focusing on what, you know, our job is to preach the gospel well, have people come to Christ. I know what evangelical means, but unfortunately that name has been hijacked by our culture and they think it means something that it doesn't. And so that's a frustration I have that isn't necessarily directed at the Free Church. It's more directed at that word. And I would love to be able to reclaim it or us pivot at some point, although I feel like that's messed up because it's our word and it does what we want it to do, but yet, you know, it got hijacked. Back to your point about you're happy to be a part of the evangelical world because you know what it really is and how healthy it is. It's not what everybody thinks it is all the time.
Yeah, I wanted to respond to your previous point about, you know, older white men, and that's where, like, I wrestle with that and think about that on a regular basis, that will be me someday.
Yeah.
And
an aging white man. Yeah.
Well, just in the sense that, like, you know, I can look at those situations, say they need to do something different from my chair. But, you know, my hope and prayer is that I will be the person that offers space for new things, mm-hmm. for better ideas, and isn't so grounded in my ways. I remember my pastor at the Converge Church I went to, he was the associate pastor, and it was really cool. This church I went to, Skokie Valley Baptist Church in Wilmette, Illinois, a truly multicultural church. I know a lot of churches I shouldn't put down any churches. Just in this sense, truly multicultural. About the ethnic makeup or the, you know, race makeup was about 40% white, 40% black, and then about 20% of everything else, which really matched the community. You know, we had multicultural potluck day where everyone brought like their native dish, and they were amazing. And we would read John 3:16 in your native language. If you wanted to, you could come up on stage and read it in your native language. And we would have 18 people come up.
That's cool.
And read 18 different languages. Like that, imagine that type of church. And the associate pastor was an older white guy.
Yeah.
And if we were talking one time about worship, and he's like, I hate our music. I was kind of taken aback. I was like, what? He's like, I absolutely hate it. All the songs we do every Sunday, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. And I was like, well, why don't you do something? Why don't you say something? He's like, well, this isn't about me. He said it brings in the people. Our church loves it, and our whole church, you know, because we were a multi-ethnic church, the music style changed from week to week, and that's what everybody loved. You know, one week you're singing gospel choir songs, the next week you're singing, you know, modern, you know, Christian rock, and then the next one you're doing hymns, and you're just going through all the different things. He goes, I just really don't like any of the music we do, but it's not about me. I thought, you know, what an attitude to have. Mm-hmm. Like, you, there's an aspect of your church that, like, you don't prefer, and you don't want it to be your way, but you realize that he said the up and coming generation likes this music better, and he said, I'm gonna defer to that every time. Like, man, I hope I have that attitude. You know, I remember that, and I just, you know, when I'm at the point where kind of there's a new up and coming generation that likes things differently than I do, I'm willing to say, you know what, I don't care what I want. I care what's helpful for the kingdom. So, I remember that. That's really stuck with me.
Yeah, and I think the Free Church is moving in that direction. I mean, first of all, there are, you know, multicultural churches within the Free Church. There are churches of other cultures within the Free Church. So, you know, for many years now, I've been within the Hispanic circles of our district, and there's maybe 14 Hispanic churches within our district. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some things going on. I attended a All People's Free Church event in Colorado, and the people that were in that room, it was very much a multi-ethnic, multicultural room. So I think those conversations are being had. I think there's some steps that are being taken that are good, but it's a lot of work to get there, and you know, it'll take some time, I think.
Absolutely. So this is good, but I think some of this might have been over some people's heads. You know, I love it when we talk some parts of it, and people come up to me later and go, hey, what does that word mean? And I'm like, oh, yeah, let me tell you. You know, we got into some theology stuff and we just threw out egalitarian and complementarian, mm-hmm. like everybody knows what that means, which is great. So let's put ourselves in the shoes of the average person. They, you know, they walk into Winnebago campus, they walk into Freeport campus, they, you know, are just thinking, I want to be a part of Park Hills. What is Park Hills actually a part of? Well, they're a part of the Free Church. We just did this whole sermon series on what is the Free Church? What are we about? Where are we going? What are we doing? If you were just an average person, why, you know, pitch me. If I'm an average person, why should I be excited about what's going on in the Evangelical Free Church?
I mean, I would say that one of the strengths, I think, of the Free Church is that we take the Bible seriously, at least, you know, and then specifically speaking of our church, Park Hills, you know, for someone who's coming to our church and wanting to check us out and what we do and what we're about, I think they're going to see that we're very much Bible people, gospel-centered Bible people. And, you know, and again, the whole autonomous part of it is, you know, we're able to live out those convictions and to be about those things without really any other outside control that'll make us change those things. I think being a part of the Free Church is being a part of a movement that is focused and centered on the gospel and on the Bible and on making disciples and making disciples who make disciples. And church planning is a big part of the Free Church. And so it's not just for us. This is, you know, wanting to bring the gospel to future generations down the road.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'd add to that. Like, I think I'd say we're doing evangelicalism well, which, you know, if we're using our definition of evangelicalism. And then, yeah, when I was listening to Jonathan, it's like church planting. I would also go there. And you went there. Like, we're not just in the – I think one of the advantages of evangelicalism is it has a solid understanding of the Bible, but then it says take that Bible into the world mm-hmm. in a meaningful way. And I think if I look at fundamentalism right now, it's take that message in a militaristic or a militant way. Mm-hmm. Like, we're gonna beat you over the head with this till you understand us, whereas evangelicalism is more of a – we're not going to compromise – what we believe, but we are going to think about intentionally how we share. It's that old argument of position and posture. We're not going to change our position on any of these things, but we are going to change our posture in the way that we approach these conversations. I think that's where the Evangelical Free Church does really well. We haven't compromised any of the positions, but we're thinking clearly about our posture.
No, I love that. If I were talking just to an average person, I would say, I am a GLD board member, so I'm actually on the board for our district. And so I am, you know, I'm ordained in the Free Church. I'm on a board. I have served in a number of capacities with the Free Church. You know, I was on the board at Timberlee, which is a Free Church camp. You know, I've gone to the Free Church school. At this point, I pretty much have all the boxes checked, you know, as...
So anything you say from now on is just propaganda. That's...
That's one way to look at it.
That's what I'm hearing from
and,
you.
And with that said, here's my answer to people. We are not afraid of criticism as a denomination, which actually makes me really happy and excited. And so even as just a newbie walking into a church going, I don't like this, I would love to hear your opinion on that because it helps us grow and develop and become people. It doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to agree with you. It doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to change everything for you, but I like how approachable this denomination is. I like how we are forward facing. We are and holding on tightly to the Bible. We're not backing down. We're not, you know, we're not fighting the culture war in the way that some people would like us to. But we're not going to fight it the way people want us to. We're going to fight it the way that the Bible seems to tell us to, which is reach as many as we can and keep moving. And so if you're new to this thing and you're going, something seems different about this church in this denomination, I guarantee you it is different and there is something really beautiful and amazing happening. But with that said, it's happening because we all love the Lord and we're letting the Spirit lead and guide us and we're trying to live it out in the day to day. So it's not just impractical hypotheticals out there. It's day to day being lived out affecting our churches, and then that affects the denomination as a whole. So come on in.